the Minnesota Wild. Sarah, how are you today? Thanks a lot for joining us.
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
We're doing great. Just getting ready for this draft in 11 days. It's going to be a lot of intrigue. The Wild sitting there just behind the Canucks at 12th overall. Well, there's Philly in between. But just your sense of how this has been trending for the Minnesota Wild. Do you get an idea of where they're thinking? Is it up front or are they focused on the defense?
Well, obviously last season we got kind of the first taste of maybe what to expect under a new general manager in Paul Fenton. He came in, obviously was hired about a month before last year's draft, and they kind of had the incumbent still run it. And still at that time, though, you could kind of pick up on the philosophy, and I think it'll carry through again, is really just finding the most talented player available. Not so much need. You know, I think Fenton mentioned one time with his tenure in Nashville, did he really target a position? And that was defense. And obviously we saw through the years the Predators load up on that position. But I think that's probably the safest way to approach it, especially like you said, at 12, you know, really see where the direction that it goes after those first couple picks. So I think there can be some flexibility in there. You have to be versatile to see where it shifts. But that was kind of the philosophy that was kind of set last season with Fenton's first draft at the helm, and I'd expect it to remain the same this year in his second.
You know, it's interesting because there's also a new man in charge of the scouting department for the Wild. Now, he was at the draft and had been part of Minnesota's hockey operations as team for many, many years. But Brent Flair, who's from not far from us, he's from Vancouver Island. Comox is his home, but he was the longtime head of the scouting staff as the assistant GM of the Wild. He followed Chuck Fletcher to Philadelphia, where he's taking that role on with the Flyers. So how much pressure is there not only on Paul Fenton, but now the entire scouting department in Minnesota?
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of taken on a restructuring after Flair's departure. And you're right, he kind of carried that torch for so many years running the draft table, not only, you know, obviously under Fletcher, but he was very much involved in that same position last year as well with the Wild before he ultimately left the organization. So they've kind of, yeah, I think kind of restructured, you know, probably looked to change up that staff a little bit. And you're right, I think this is kind of, yeah, going to be a coming out kind of party for this new staff. And it'll be interesting to see them kind of put their stamp on the organization, because obviously there is a lot of focus on growing that pipeline. The focus is on getting younger and faster and more skillful. And obviously the easiest way to attract and acquire that type of talent is through the draft and cultivating those prospects. So I think this is a really important, you know, not only offseason, but draft for the Wild, since it does feel like this is the first maybe full-blown official draft under Fenton, with more of his you know, people that he's brought into the organization in prominent roles, like on this scouting staff now. And so I think the tone very much could be set for their summer with what they do at the draft, not only with the picks they make, but if they do make any other moves that affect their roster in the more immediate time frame.
Not just the first real draft for Fenton, but also just kind of where the life cycle of this Wild team is. You could make a case of, okay, look, they kind of did what they did this season, but in a way, there's a rebuild staring them in the face, and this year is going to be the first year of that lifespan for this team.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call it a rebuild, but yeah, I get what you're saying. I think it is kind of a new, maybe part of their life cycle, because they did obviously start to disassemble this core last season, particularly obviously at the trade deadline, getting rid of Charlie Coyle and Niederreiter. Two long-term former members of this team that were very much integral into that former core. So it did signal certainly a new direction, and you know, I'd expect it to continue to evolve. Obviously, this summer they have some key RFAs to acknowledge and get signed, and then they have quite a bit of money flexibility-wise to experiment with, whether it's tapping into the trade market or obviously free agency. So you're right, I do think there'll be kind of like this rebranding, kind of this new image of the Wild to emerge in 2019-2020 after what's been for so many years, you know, a very familiar roster. Change definitely seems to be on the agenda, and I think that's what Fenton was brought in here to do.
It's Sarah McClellan joining us from the Star Tribune in Minnesota, talking all things Minnesota Wild. And you mentioned the trade market. His name's been mentioned in relation to Vancouver Canucks as well. It's Jason Zucker. What's your understanding of when this may come to a resolution and just the feelings from both camps?
Yeah, it's been something that's been going on for quite some time now. You know, he was obviously, I think, a name prominent still in the trade mill, rumor mill, you know, at this point last year. And then obviously he got the 5-year contract from the Wild, and you would think, you know, that type of commitment, that long of a commitment, would maybe put those rumors to rest, but they haven't. And so I think that speaks to obviously his appeal factor, why other teams are interested. But also too, you know, for a player who's on that type of contract at 27 years old, I think for the Wild, they can see him as, you know, a piece that would fetch maybe a return, that would help us, you know, maybe address issues elsewhere in the lineup, whether it be adding more reinforcements up the middle or really boosting the right side of their lineup, since they've been very thin at right wing for a couple of years now. So you kind of can get the sense of why he's out there, why his name continues to be batted around. I think probably these next few weeks at the draft, obviously that's when the trade talk seems to ratchet up and kind of come to a head. So if there ever is a chance maybe for something to finally officially, you know, get consummated, that timeline would make sense. But I think you can see pros and cons on both sides too. This is a player that, you know, has a knack for putting the puck in the net. You know, obviously eclipsed 30 a couple seasons ago, was up over 20, was not happy with that production this past season. Feels like he can be, you know, a bona fide 30 goal scorer. So there's still motivation on the player's end, despite this type of contract commitment. There doesn't seem to be the complacency that he's talked about. So it's an interesting debate. It's a kind of a fascinating storyline. I think that'll probably maybe set the tone too for what they can accomplish in the trade market or free agency, is whether or not they move Jason Zucker and what type of return he could potentially fetch for them.
Well, and that kind of leads into the final question for you, Sarah. What do you anticipate the Wild do when it comes to adding? They've got a boatload of cap space coming their way up to July 1st. Do you expect the Wild maybe to have one of their busiest off seasons when it comes to either trades or bringing in new faces via free agency?
The potential is definitely there, and that's something new for this franchise. This is a team that has been pretty much cap strapped for the last handful of years, so we haven't seen much maneuvering at, you know, in the summer, in July. You look at last season, it was kind of very methodical moves, depth moves on defense, at forward. This season, there's definitely the potential to make more of a splash because the flexibility with the cap is there. They obviously have some key RFAs to acknowledge in Kevin Fiala, who they received in the Mikhail Granlund trade. Joel Eriksson-Ek, who obviously took on an increased role last season. Those are just some of the few that they have to obviously try to get re-signed. But then I think it's fair game to really look at this forward group getting a makeover. This is a team that struggled to score last season, probably one of the reasons mainly that this team didn't advance to the playoffs. So how do they fix that right side of the lineup, add more of a potent scorer to their top six? I also wouldn't be surprised if they address the center ice position, even though they have bodies on the roster. They have Eric Staal coming back. They have Mikko Koivu coming back. They have numbers there, but I still think it could be a position that they try to acquire to beef up, knowing how vital that position is. I think they're pretty set, obviously, in net and on defense, maybe a depth mover there, but that seems to be their strength. So really finding a way to get creative up front, I think that's obviously at the top of the wish list this summer.
She is Sarah McClellan of the Minnesota Star Tribune, giving us all things Minnesota Wild. Sarah, thank you very much, and I guess we'll see you next week here at the draft.
Sounds good. Will do. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Sarah.